We're reading from Philemon this morning. I'd like to continue our study here. We're beginning with verse 17 today. Paul writes, "If you count me, therefore, as a partner, receive him, that is Onesimus, as myself. And if he wronged you and if he owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it. And do not want to say unto you how you owe unto me, even though you owe your very self to me." We saw last time, several weeks ago, as we ended, that we found that Paul is speaking about the unity that we have as believers in Christ, and that there's no differences for the church or for individual members in a church. There are no slaves, no rich people, no masters, no servants. There are not young people or old people. There's not apostles. Everybody is together. We're on the same level as far as our standing before Jesus Christ. Although in the church we have different positions of authority and structure, as the pastors and teachers are gifted to the church by God Himself to be in charge and leaders. That is one structure of authority. But when we speak about our individual standing in the church, we are equal. And so Paul was writing to Philemon for him to receive the slave that had run away and caused him financial hardship. But now Paul takes the whole subject one step further. He uses this word partner, partnership. And he's writing to Philemon and says, if we are partners in Christ, if we are workers together in the kingdom of God, then I ask that you would receive him, and not only receive him, but receive him as you would receive me. Because we are friends and in mutual ministry. We're partners in the Lord, in the kingdom of God. Now the word partnership is a very important context when we speak about spiritual matters. We are co-workers, Paul writes very often. Paul presents himself as a slave of Jesus Christ very often. And very often in his epistles, Paul would write that we are co-laborers. Later on, at the end of this short letter, in the end of this chapter, Paul will name many of the people that worked with Paul together in the ministry. When Paul began this epistle, he wrote about Philemon in verse 1 being a fellow laborer. They were together in this. They had, if you will, use the word, a contract with each other. Although it wasn't a written contract, but in the church we are called to use the gifts that God has given to us and work together to build not only the local church and build up each individual member in the church, but to build up the body of Christ at large in general. You remember our study through the Epistle of Ephesians, until everybody, until every last member in the church comes into the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith refers to in Jude. Remember, we studied Jude several years ago. And Jude writes, "I found it necessary to write to you about the faith that once was delivered to the saints." So all of us are building up and we're growing together in one body until we all come into this knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul considered Philemon to be a co-laborer, a partner in the ministry. Are you a partner in the ministry of this local church? Are you doing something to build the kingdom of God, to build God's, Christ's church here in this local area, in this community where we live? Do you consider yourself to be a part, or do you just consider yourself to be a visitor that comes here? There's a big difference between a visitor or a regular attendee. Sometimes people request from us a letter of certification stating that they regularly attend services here. It is one thing to be a regular attender, but it is a totally different thing to be a member or a part. All of us have families. And at the end of the day, no matter where we work, no matter where we go, no matter where we travel, as Paul and I traveled this week, but at the end of the day, at the end of the week, we come back home to where we belong, where we have an input, where we dedicate ourselves. And Paul is talking about this partnership. Sometimes we have work partnerships, which are a little bit more formal. their contracts, where we agree to work for our master or our employer, if you will, for a set fee. That's working for somebody. But you can have a work partnership where you're a business partner with somebody. And in that case, you are oftentimes a percent owner or maybe a 50-50% owner with somebody. And in the case where there are two owners of a company, everything is divided equally. The cost of doing business is divided equally. The profits are divided equally. When you come to the property that you own, or if you have equipment in your factory or whatever business you are in, everything is owned equally by the two people. One can walk in and say, this is mine, and the other can walk in and say, this is mine. And in that context, Paul calls Philemon a partner. And he says, if you are a partner, and if I am a partner in this kingdom ministry, then Onesimus is also a partner in this. Because as I am saved and as you are saved, Onesimus was saved by the same standard, by the same God, by the same way, the one way into the presence of God through the atoning, redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We spoke last time a little bit about the fact that although God forgives our sins, a price had to be paid for our sins. In society, even if sometimes we may be forgiven, but sometimes there is a price to be paid for the wrongs that we have committed in society. If you get a ticket, there is often a fine that you have to pay for the ticket. If you do a serious crime, oftentimes you need to spend time in prison to pay to society the price for what you have done wrong. And as a godly man and instructor and a person that brought Onesimus to the faith, I'm sure in their conversations as Onesimus told him about his past life, Paul began to teach him that he needs to return to Philemon and ask for forgiveness and make right the things he had done wrong. And Onesimus apparently had spent all the money that he had stolen from Philemon, and he cannot restore this debt. And so Apostle Paul, in our text here, he says, not only receive him as you would receive me, as if I was coming to visit you. I'm sure Philemon would have been happy to have the Apostle Paul in his house. I would be happy to have the Apostle Paul visit and live in my house. But this was a different matter. And so Paul says in verse 18, if he wronged you, forgive him. And if he owes you anything, then I will pay the price. We see a picture here of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, volunteered, and he went to the cross on my behalf and on your behalf. And then in verse 19, Paul does something very interesting. He says, I, Paul, wrote with my own hand. You know, today we understand this idea and this concept of important businessmen. Oftentimes in their business, my boss doesn't always have the time to write down a memo, but he calls in the secretary and he simply dictates to her a memo and says, send this out to the organization. And she gets her iPhone or whatever and she sends it out to everybody in the network. We understand this idea. Well, the Apostle Paul also, he often used a secretary. He used somebody to actually write his epistles. Some of them shorter, as in this case, some of them longer. But at this point in writing this epistle, Paul takes the pen from the man that was writing. And in this letter, he writes to Philemon, I owe you. Onesimus can't pay the debt, so I owe you. And Paul says, I wrote this in my own hand. Not my secretary, not the man writing this letter, but I personally, I guarantee this for you. And Philemon, knowing Paul, he knows that Paul has enough money in whatever resources Paul had, even though Paul is in prison. But he had a certain amount of financial resources that were his. And Paul takes from his resources, very much like Jesus Christ did. And he offers to pay the price to Philemon. And so he personally signs this letter and says, I, Paul, I owe you. And then he goes on and he opens up a whole new idea. He says, you know, Philemon, although I will pay, and although now I owe you this debt, and not Onesimus, but me. And although I owe you this, I want to remind you of the fact that you also owe me. And you owe me a lot more than Onesimus owes you. The very fact that you are saved, the very fact that you heard the gospel is a result of God's grace, of course, but it was God's providence and sovereignty that crossed our paths so you can hear the gospel from me. And as far as your eternal salvation, you owe a lot more to God and to Jesus Christ than Onesimus owes to you. And I'd like to close with the thought. Remember, Jesus told a parable or the story of the man that owed an unrepayable debt to his master. And he begged them and he received forgiveness. And then he went out and he could not forgive the man that, in retrospect, by comparison, only owed him a very small amount of money. And in a way, Paul to Philemon is saying the same concept. He says, Onesimus owes you a little bit. Don't be like the man that could not forgive the little debt. As Jesus Christ forgave you, forgive him. But if not, I, the Apostle Paul, the agent, your friend, your partner, I guarantee that I will cover the debt. And so may God help us to have that kind of heart for the lost people of the world, as Paul had, to be willing to put everything that we have, all of our resources, including our life itself, on the line for the salvation of perhaps just one person that would need it. Amen.